want to tell you about the first time I got picked up by the police. I was 4 years old. I'm telling you, I was a bad dude. I was 4 years old. I found a penny, and there was a store about a mile from our house. And even though my mother had lectured me many times about wandering too far away from home, and of course this is, you know, back in the 70s when kids could play outside unattended, and I wanted to go to the store to get some candy, and my mom said no. So I decided at four, I think I know how to get to the store, and I started walking. Well, I got pretty much probably 100 yards and turned a corner and had no idea where I was. And I was lost. And I was scared. But I knew the road went right to the store. But somehow it didn't compute that it would also go right back to my house. So I just kept on going. And here came a police cruiser. He turned his lights on. Why? I don't know. But he turned his lights on. He gets out. And there was a report of a missing child. A beautiful child. So he saw me, knew it was me, and let me in the front of the cruiser with him, and we drove that 120, 135 yards, and my mother was in the front yard, and she had that look on her face, the look that I absolutely knew she loved me, but it wasn't going to be a good day, right? And Mom had been in church long enough that she knew how to be nice and polite to the police officer and hug me, you know, and police officer waves, gets in the car, drives away, and her hug just got tighter and tighter. I'm going to kill you, you know, that kind of a thing. But I thought about how scared I got when I turned the corner because I wasn't sure where I was at. And it was a feeling that I had never really had before because I'd always been home. Or if I wasn't at home, I was with my mom. And so I was scared to death. And I just thought if I can get to the store, it'll be okay somehow, you know. Well, I don't know. But I was scared to death. And I thought of that story today because in the Gospel of John, Jesus says this to his disciples, John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Isn't that a great word? That we, for the most part, totally ignore. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And I find my heart troubled so much. Jesus has told us what life is going to be like, what life on this planet's like. He's warned us. He wants us to know it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. He wants us to know bad things are going to happen. I mean, this is the world that we live in right now, but it's not the world we were made for. And so he says to his disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. That's such good advice. I've given that advice a million times to people. Anybody else ever say that to somebody? They tell you what's going on and you just say, don't let your heart be troubled, or however you might say something like that. You know, hey, don't worry. Isn't it easy advice to give? I feel like I could wear a button that says, take my advice. I don't use it. You know? Because I say that so much, but there's so much worry. And I'm troubled by so many things. And for the most part, things that if you're familiar with God's word, you know there's going to be struggles. There's going to be difficult times. And Jesus doesn't say, don't let your hearts be troubled because there is no trouble. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Why? Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And then he says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. I love this. I mean, this is something for us to really think about. Don't let your hearts be troubled until you know an explanation is coming on why your heart shouldn't be troubled. I know what I want Jesus to say. I know the words that would comfort me. The explanation is coming. And it's kind of funny, unless you're kind of in a troubled place right now. It's not funny at all. But it's kind of funny. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. And you can almost hear Peter, one of the disciples, saying, why? And Jesus says, what? Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Where is his Father's house?
Heaven.
It's in heaven. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Why? Because you're going to be in heaven one day. If I had been there in that moment and Jesus said that, there probably would have been an audible sigh. Like, oh, that really? Don't let my heart be troubled because I'm going to be in heaven one day? I mean, for some of us, it's that one day that we're so troubled about, isn't it? Don't let your hearts be troubled. I love this. It's a Jewish custom that when a young Jewish man would ask a young Jewish woman to marry him, the way that that happens is they have this big banquet. And basically, at some point in this ceremony, she's sitting at the table. He joins her at the table. And he slides over a glass of wine. If she drinks from that glass, that is her way of saying, I will marry you. If she doesn't, then she has said no. And what would happen during, right in the middle of this celebration, if he slid the cup to her and she drank it, he would leave immediately. And what he would do, he would leave the celebration and he would go to his father's house and he would begin to build what they call a dwelling place. Because that young Jewish couple would live as in part of the house that's connected to the father's house. And that young Jewish man would begin building that room. So when Jesus says this, when he says, in my father's house are many rooms, if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, a dwelling place. All they knew exactly what he was talking about. That here's what you were created for. The whole culmination of this life is not the awards. It's not the accolades. It's not what you have accumulated over a lifetime. It's not even about all the relationships that you've made. The culmination of this life is that we leave this place and we're with Jesus. And for that reason, Jesus says with all confidence, not intending to discourage them at all, don't let your hearts be troubled. You're going to be in heaven. I wish you could just stand here for a minute and see all your faces right now. That's how I felt all day reading this. That's literally what Jesus is saying. Hey, don't let your hearts be troubled. You're going to be in heaven. And, you know, heaven's the furthest thing from my mind. I'm thinking about all these things that are going on. Anybody thinking about all the things going on? Somebody was asking me today, hey, have you watched the news? I barely watch the news anymore. I can't take it. My life is troubled enough without seeing how troubled everybody else's life is and how troubled the world is and how troubled our country is. I can't hardly take it. I got enough things to worry about. It's like the guy who went to the doctor because he was having a lot of stress. And the doctor said to him, you're going to have to reduce your stress. If you get any more stress, you're going to die. And the guy says, that's the most stressful thing anybody's told me. And this is how we feel. But Jesus says, with all the confidence in the world, don't let your hearts be troubled. The alternative to not letting your heart be troubled is to trust in God. And you can see Jesus saying it so matter-of-factly because he knows it's the truth. Just trust in God. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. You're going to be in heaven. Now you would think, for the vast majority of us here tonight, we believe this. We believe that at the end of this life, whenever that is, we're going to be in heaven. And I would say the vast majority of us have no doubts about that. We believe that Jesus was the Son of God. We believe that he came to the earth and he died on the cross. He rose again 3 days later. He has the power, the ability to forgive sin. He has saved us. And we don't have a shred of doubt that we're going to be in heaven. And yet these are the words that Jesus comforts the disciples with. Because they're true. They are powerful. Let me tell you this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust me. just trust me, you're going to be in heaven. I'm trying to think about how many more times to say that to see if I can just get a grin out of somebody. I mean, right now everybody's like, ah. And I thought somebody would say amen, hallelujah. I'd actually offered money for one person to kind of run around and say, it's amazing, it's amazing. They left. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I mean, I've thought about this all day. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And just when I've kind of worked myself into a frenzy where I'm starting to believe it, yeah, yeah. Don't let my heart be, I start thinking about, well, but, oh, what am I going to do about this? Don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus says, trust me. Trust me. He doesn't offer any solution there to the momentary crises, does he? Jesus doesn't say, don't let your heart be troubled. All this is going to work out the way you want. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, don't let your heart be troubled. No misfortune is going to befall you. He doesn't say, he doesn't offer anything like that. He just says, don't let your hearts be troubled. I mean, part of what's happening here, Jesus is kind of is getting ready to try to explain what's going to happen to him. It's like Jesus is saying, listen, let me tell you, they're going to come, they're going to arrest me, they're going to beat me, they're going to wrongly accuse me, they're going to crucify me on the cross, I'm going to die. Don't let your heart be troubled. I think it was Tony Campolo. I'd never thought about this. And to me, it's one of the most hilarious things I've ever heard. I'm just qualifying it because usually then when I tell you, everybody just looks at me and nobody laughs. But this is so funny to me. He was talking about the thieves that were on the cross with Jesus. And you remember the one thief mocked him, right? The other thief defended Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I mean, that's awesome, isn't it? But then the next thing Jesus said is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I never thought about what the thief might have thought about that. Like, is that not hilarious? You don't think of that because you don't think of yourself as that thief, right? But, I mean, that's what you would think. Jesus, don't let your hearts be troubled. They're going to kill me. The world's going to hate you. You're not going to fit in. There's going to be difficult times, hard. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust me. You're going to heaven. Okay, couple grins there. Of course, I think they were leaning over saying, I wish he'd shut up already with that. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? I love that. I love that Thomas spoke that. Because those are usually the things that all of us think, but we never say, right? And Jesus says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas is like, Lord, we don't. We don't have a clue. We don't have any idea where you're going. And Jesus answered and he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And what Jesus is saying is this, you know, for this journey here, the destination is not a place. We're going to be in heaven, right, at the end of all this. I think I've said that. But the destination is Jesus. It's him. I mean, it is what makes heaven, heaven. You know, the biblical writers tried to talk about heaven in a way that, you know, would be really cool. Streets of, y'all have never heard this? Streets of, what kind of gates? Pearly. I mean, all that sounds great, right? But what makes heaven, heaven is Jesus. And he's the destination. And that's why Jesus can say with all confidence, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust me. I'm there. I'm here. I am with you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Again, Jesus is saying, so trust me. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. How many times have you said that? How many times have you said that, really? I've said it a bunch. Lord, if you would just do this, then I'll tell you, I'll believe if you just do this. And the this always involves some great, you know, beneficial thing for me. Lord, if you just would do this, just for your glory, no other reason, if you would just do this, Lord, then I'd really believe. If you would just do something. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do, now here we go, listen to this. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. When I read that, now this is what I'm about to say is very potentially offensive, right? This may be the thing my wife says when we get home. You know that thing? Yeah, you shouldn't have said that. But when I read that, and I'm just being honest with you, the one, you know, ask for anything in my name and I will do it. What that makes me think of is the scene in, I think it's The Princess Bride. Billy Crystal. You may remember Billy Crystal's character. What was his name? I can't even remember. But, you know, and he was trying to help him. Gosh, you haven't seen it. You'll be so lost. But his wife comes out because he's telling him that he can't help this couple. And his wife comes out. And you may remember what she says. Liar! Liar! That's what I think of. That's what I think of. Ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Has anybody here asked Jesus for something and then he didn't do it? So, here's where we are with that. Either the Bible is not true, or we don't fully understand what Jesus is saying here. I opt for the latter. If you ask for anything in my name, there are people, and if you have a big problem with this, just email me, KeithScarborough@Hillview.com. Because I know this will be troublesome for some people. I'm going to tell you, there's something about when the Bible says to pray in Jesus' name. It means so much more than saying in Jesus' name. You see, if all you had to do was say in Jesus' name and then you would get whatever you want, that makes God Santa Claus, who just fulfills our every whim and desire. But it's got to mean more than just saying in Jesus' name. It's something about Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's something about Jesus saying, trust me, right? It's something about that. And then and for him to kind of close this passage out saying, and if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. Well, all the stuff before that has to mean something. We can't divorce the last verse from the rest of the passage. Although that's what most of us do, isn't it? Especially with that one. Ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Can you imagine who you would be married to if that happened? Can you imagine where you'd be at in life if that happened? I mean, one, there'd be no consequences, would there? You just make whatever decision you want, and if you don't like it, you just rub the genie lamp again and get a do-over. And so when Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, it's got to mean more than just saying Jesus' name. And I think it has less to do with our words and everything to do with our hearts. Jesus says, in the midst of a time that is troubling, Jesus says to the disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust me. Trust me. I know what's going on here. I know what's happening. Just trust me. And whatever you think is just going to lay away your life, or whatever you think is just going to wreck your life or turn your life upside down, Jesus is saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says all this, and then he says, and if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. It is about the heart. And it is about the relationship that we have with Jesus. And it's important. And let me tell you something. It's not a one-time encounter with Jesus. He doesn't just come and save us and then he goes on his merry way and we go on ours. It's a relationship. It's about time that we spend with Jesus, getting to know him. And that might sound odd to some of you, getting to know Jesus. That just sounds weird. And yet, he's given us his word so that we can know him. And when we read his word, he paints a very clear and accurate picture of who he is. And he is not someone who just gives you whatever you want. But he's somebody who desires above all things, after he has saved us, he desires above all things for us to be in relationship with him. And it's out of the trustworthiness of that relationship that Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. And so, having said that, that means this. So when my heart is still troubled, it's not an issue on Jesus' end. It's an issue on mine. Because what it reveals when my heart is so troubled is it reveals a lack of trust. It's a lack of trust that I have in Jesus. Now let me tell you something. And I don't believe that means that I'm not saved. I know that Jesus has saved me. He has done that, right? But that work is still being done in my life. And Jesus is saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. Why is he saying it? Why is he saying, don't let your heart be troubled? I mean, let's just think about it for a minute. Why is Jesus saying that? Don't let your heart be troubled. Somebody shout out an answer. Why is he saying that? Because they are. Absolutely. That's the answer. You get a prize at the end of the service. I mean, that's why you would say to anybody, don't let your heart be troubled, because you know their heart is troubled. Jesus knows that their hearts are troubled. He knows that. And he says to them, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust me in this. Trust me through this. And whatever you feel is lacking that you need, one, if you're even right about it, Jesus is saying, trust me to provide that. We talk about forgiveness a lot because I just think it's, it's epidemic in the church, this thing of unforgiveness, that we can harbor such unforgiveness in our lives, right? And yet I do believe there is a part of forgiveness that is absolutely divine, that I cannot forgive the way God wants me to unless God gives me that forgiveness to do it, right? And yet, it's directly correlated to the depth of my trust in Jesus that I'm willing to even accept such a thing from Jesus. Because to forgive somebody that's wronged you, somebody that's slandered you, somebody that's talked about you, somebody that's done something to you, to forgive them requires trust, which somebody will always counter that with me and say, but that's a problem, I don't trust them. And I said, no, you misunderstood. Your forgiveness of that person is not based upon your trust of that person. They may be completely untrustworthy. As a pastor, I might even advise you, don't trust them, right? But the trust that you're dependent upon in forgiveness is a trust in Jesus. Because why don't we want to forgive? Because they did something to us once. If we forgive them, guess what? They'll do it again. Which kind of conjures up the words of Jesus who said, you know, how many times do you forgive somebody? Like 490 times, something like that, right? Some of us take that literally. We're counting. Nope, that's 280. Jesus' point is, whether they do it again or not is irrelevant, because your forgiveness of them is based on your relationship with me, not them. And Jesus calls us to forgive. Now, I'm just using forgiveness as an example. That my inability to forgive is directly tied to a lack of trust that I have in Jesus. Because Jesus is saying, forgive them and trust me with it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, I've done that before, Jesus. And you were asleep at the wheel. Isn't that a country song? No, that's Jesus, take the wheel. Okay. But don't you feel like he's asleep at the wheel sometimes? Hey, I'm trying to trust you, but you know this is never ending. And we hear Jesus say, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me with everything. Trust me with everything that's precious to you. Trust me with things you don't even think you care about. Trust me. And all that is about our relationship with him. And his comforting words to Thomas is, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know what Jesus is saying to Thomas? And Thomas, you've made a way to the Father because of me. I've taken you to the Father, Thomas. And if you can trust me for that, then you can trust me for anything that's here. So don't let your hearts be troubled. I mean, what they lacked in all of this was just the understanding of what was going on. And you all know I love this because I say it, you know, at least one or two Wednesdays out of the month. It's profound to me that the Bible doesn't promise information that will bring us peace. What does he promise? He promises a peace that surpasses understanding. And so my trust in him doesn't even have to be dependent upon my understanding of the particular situation that I'm going through. How many meaningless things do we go through that are so troubling to us that there is no good answer? I mean, if there was an answer, it wouldn't make any sense. And so the Bible promises this peace that surpasses understanding. You know what Jesus is saying? You don't even have to understand it. Just trust me. And I will bring you peace. And I think this message is important tonight. Because Jesus means it when he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. And in saying that, Jesus is acknowledging that there are troubling things that are happening. Jesus knows there are things going on that absolutely would trouble your heart. And Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Do this instead. Trust me. Because you're going to be in heaaven one day. And so whatever you face here, no matter how difficult, no matter how hard, oh, it won't even be worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. Jesus says, trust me. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust me. We're going to have a time of altar. If you're here tonight, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. This passage is so important because Jesus makes something absolutely clear in the passage that we just read. Jesus said that he's the way to the Father, that there is no other way. It's through a relationship with him, through the forgiveness that he offers, that we can be saved. And I would plead with you tonight, to do exactly what this sermon has been about and to trust Jesus. And we've tried to save ourselves for so long, haven't we? And we've tried it in so many different ways. It reminds me, I don't remember the guy's name at this point, but the guy who invented the pacemaker. Think about what a phenomenal invention that was. The guy that invented the pacemaker. You know what I found out about that guy? He died of a heart attack. You can't save yourself. I don't care how smart you are. You cannot save yourself. But Jesus can save us. And I would ask you to place your trust in Him. And then for those of you who are here and you know that you've been saved, there is always room, regardless of where we are spiritually, there is always room to grow in the area of trust. Some of you are going to come to this altar tonight because your heart is so troubled. And I love it because Jesus isn't offering just a ton of guilt. Well, I can't believe your heart's troubled. He didn't say that. He just pleaded with them, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust me. He said it because He knew their hearts were. I want to invite us to come to the altar tonight and just, you know, just be honest. Oh, Lord, my heart is so troubled. And it's easy for us to even admit. And, Lord, I don't want it to be. I mean, nobody just chose, oh, I just like my heart to be troubled. But it's just that lack of trust. And just a time of altar for us to just confess to the Lord, Lord, my heart's been troubled. I haven't been trusting in You. I haven't been relying on You. I've been relying on myself and all these other things. But Lord, I want to trust You. And I don't want my heart to be troubled. I just want to trust You. Father, we come to You tonight. And Lord, we just thank You for the truthfulness of Your word. And I thank You for how You speak to us. And Lord, how even in the words You speak to us, You're telling us so many things about ourselves and about You. About where we are and where You want us to be. And yet, Lord, You didn't just hand us a map and say, good luck. You said to us, follow Me. Because You're with us every step of the way. Lord, we confess tonight that our hearts have been troubled. And we've relied on all kinds of things, ourselves, other people, but we've not truly relied on You. Teach us how to trust You tonight, Lord. We love You. It's in Your name we pray. Let's stand together. The altar is open. I want to invite you to come. You don't have to wait on anybody else. You can just step out right now. You come.